Welcome to Don't Say Adulting. It's the show where we seek out advice from friends, family, and professionals on the daily tasks of adulthood. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Don't Say Adulting. I'm Jane O'Connor, as usual, but today I'm joined by a special guest host, Javi Zubizarreta, who is the director here at Grotto Network.
That is correct. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. We're talking today about fitness, getting into shape.
Yeah.
How do you do that if, you know, how do you do that in your busy 9-to-5, 40-hour work week? I think when I was trying to think of this question, it's just like, I want to get into shape, but I know nothing.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know how much time I have for this. Do you feel like you had kind of a journey?
Oh, did I have a journey over hills and valleys and through the woods?
I'm just seeing flashbacks in the back of your, he's silent. For
oh yeah. No, I had a lot, a long journey to fitness. I am in a place now, I'm 35, and I think I can confidently say that I'm probably the healthiest I've ever been in my life in terms of fitness and other things. And it was a journey to get there. When I was 25, I was not there. I was very far from there.
Yeah.
I was a sickly child growing up. I had asthma and scoliosis. I wore a back brace. It was a whole thing. So the gym, scary. Athletics, scary.
Yeah.
All those things, not for me.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the scary part, that's the thing that really, I've now, you know, started to get into it a little bit. I luckily have a good friend who's more ahead of me on the journey and taking me along. But the big thing was the self-conscious, scary angle. I feel like even if you're not a sickly child with a back brace, they could still, and this is not, not trying to belittle that experience.
Even if you're a feeble child on the streets.
It's scary for everyone.
It is. We all know we should exercise. We all know it's good for us. We don't need to be told that anymore. But I think you're absolutely right of going to a gym that's packed with people and you see people who are clearly very, very fit and very knowledgeable of what they're doing. It's super intimidating and it's much easier to stay home and not do those things.
Do you feel like you had a bit of a, how did you get over the self-consciousness?
My dad had open heart surgery.
Hey, that'll
I'm gonna bring the drama today to this podcast. but I spent some time with him. Thankfully he was all good and he was all good. And but that said, I saw what a cardiac intensive care unit looked like. And I said to myself, Javi, you need to make life changes because you don't ever want to be here. And so that gave me a real existential push to say, you need to figure out how to make this work. Because I always wanted to look fit. I always wanted to be fit. That was always there. But having that bigger recognition that like, my body could decay, will decay.
So I don't care if people are staring at me at the gym right now.
Except I do. I always do.
That's the part. Luckily, my friend kind of brought me along. That was a real help. You know, just to not. I feel like there's something, even if you're not in the gym, you're just at a party. When you're alone and you suddenly are flooded with thoughts of like, what do I look like from every angle right now?
There are multiple cameras over here. And all I'm thinking about is, do I look fit on the on the exercise episode? So.
Well, and hopefully we can get some good tips from our guests today. We've got Caitlin and Joanna from Rec Sports here at Notre Dame. Who are going to come on, chat to us about getting into shape, how to fit that into your young adult life. In college, I had a lot of friends taking a weightlifting class.
Sure.
I should probably learn that strength training is important. But I just thought, oh, I'll do that later on.
It's always easier. Always easier.
Things get easier as you get older is the lesson. That's what I've heard. I don't know why you're laughing.
Especially when it comes to, you know, making your body change. It's super easy.
Did you start at 25?
Let's see. I started when I moved back here to South Bend, which is 26. And I'm very glad that we have folks from Rec Sports because I got a trainer from Rec Sports to help me in my journey. Because as you said, doing it alone is tough. Having someone who knows what they're doing is great. And but that's when I started. And my intention, my thought was like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have a six pack in a month. No.
Yeah, it was a really hard day for me when I learned that a lot of the aesthetic part comes with a combination of exercise and diet.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's one or the other right now.
And genetics.
Yeah.
And many other factors. Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully, you know, we can get some tips on health, fitness.
Great.
Just how to fit that into your daily routine. So stick around. We'll be joined by Caitlin and Joanna here on Don't Say Adulting. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Don't Say Adulting. Thanks for sticking with us through that very short intermission. We are now joined by Joanna Reiner and Caitlin Kiger from Rec Sports here at Notre Dame. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Same. Yeah. And, you know, as we've been discussing a little bit before, we're talking about fitness, how to get into shape, how to overcome my deep fear of social stigma in the gym.
Yep. The insecurities, the worries.
Yeah.
Yeah. The laziness.
Yeah. Yeah. And also just how to get ripped. No, we don't have to get into that. I guess right off the bat, the big thing I kept thinking of with this was how do you fit it into, you know, for our audience, mm-hmm. just started maybe a full-time job for the first time and maybe have on top of that zero experience with the gym and fitness. How would you go about getting started, mm-hmm. fitting that into your schedule, going to the gym, getting some exercise into your day?
Yeah, so the first and foremost thing you got to do is find something you really enjoy doing, because if you don't love it, then you're probably not going to go back to it. So whether that be one of our programs like group fitness or personal training, someone to get you going, or maybe it's just I like to lift heavy things and put them down. I don't really want anybody to talk to me. That's okay too. But you got to find something that you really, really like. And then once you found that, it's all about timing, just like you would time anything else. So you got to work it into your schedule, just like you would with your classes, right? As a student, thinking back to that, mm-hmm. and okay, I need to make sure I get this done by this time, so I'm going to block out this hour. You need to block out that hour too. It's just as important to get that stuff done as it is to prioritize your health.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like for me, when I was trying to get started, there's all these things I've tried and failed, like running mm-hmm. and other exercise. Yeah.
What if you don't like working out? And it hurts and it's painful and you feel silly doing Zumba.
Yeah.
What if nothing feels fun? How do you start or find something that works for you?
Yeah, I do truly believe that there is something for everybody. Okay. You just got to find your crew, right? Mm-hmm. Your tribe. So for me, it's in those classes mm-hmm. and it's finding a group of people that like to do the same movements I do, or maybe they just like the same thing socially mm-hmm. as I do. And that makes it a little more fun. Mm-hmm. I don't think as much about how much my legs burn in a spin class mm-hmm. when I'm next to my best friend, right? So it's really about finding other ways to enjoy it, even mm-hmm. if maybe the actual physical activity may kind of suck in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you all teach or slash coach at the gym? Can you give us a little bit of background on your personal areas?
Sure. Yeah. So I teach a lot of different types of classes mm-hmm. or I'm certified in a lot of types of classes. Mm-hmm. But right now I teach beat biking, which is a lot of fun.
What is beat biking?
Yeah. So it's a spin class, mm-hmm. except everything's to music. Mm-hmm. So you get to sort of connect with the beat a little bit. I enjoy it because I can be a little creative with mm-hmm. making my playlists. Yeah. Like this week is a theme week for us and we're doing a green week. So no reds allowed, obviously. So I had a bunch of green theme songs and football theme songs and yeah, it was a lot of fun. I actually made my class sing Sweet Caroline at one point. So, exactly. And sometimes that's enough to get people excited is, hey, there's going to be a good playlist. I can survive the next 45 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Caitlin?
I actually started out with like the Zumbas, you know, the mm-hmm. silly movements.
Yeah.
But trying to transition also into those cycle classes. Mm-hmm. And for me, a lot of it was just moving my body, knowing that I'm going to look maybe a little bit sillier. So that's mm-hmm. why we can dim the lights, put the party lights on, know that nobody's really watching you either.
Sure.
But it's one of those things where you find that community.
Yeah.
Which is really, really nice to find too.
Yeah. That is, I feel like the music angle, this is a bit of an aside, but because I have headphones on for so much of my job, I don't listen to music at the gym and I feel like a crazy person. I feel like people look at me lifting weights just silently.
Yeah.
But so I need to do one where it's out in the open more.
There you
know?
Go. Yeah.
Okay. So there's the enjoyment factor for picking something that you enjoy doing. Should you take into consideration cardio versus strength in terms of what you're looking like long-term health, or is there one that's more important that you should prioritize? Is it more just the enjoyment factor once again?
Well, both are important. And sometimes we have to do things we don't like, mm-hmm. just yeah. like life. So you may not like cardio, but it's good for you to do a little bit of cardio.
Yeah.
And it's not like you need massive amounts of cardio. You don't need to be running at a Usain Bolt pace mm-hmm. every single day. but to even get like a good brisk walk in mm-hmm. a few times a week can be super beneficial for your health. And same thing with strength training. That can do a lot for your... not just your muscle composition, but mm-hmm. also for your bone health.
Mm-hmm.
So really important to get both in. You might end up doing a little more yeah. of one than the other just because mm-hmm. you like one yeah. More than the other. But again, like it's better to do something than yeah. nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get 30 minutes of one thing, it's better than to not get any.
Okay. Absolutely. And we were talking about this earlier. Is there actually, I mean, it sounds like there'd be, it's obviously better to get into the habit early, but is it, I don't want to say too late because it's never too late, but are there advantages to starting a little earlier in life? Can you still get back in it? Is there a point where it's like you should really get in before this time?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? You know?
Yeah. When do you just dig the grave?
And, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's never too late to get started. Obviously, the earlier you start and the more you stay with it, the easier it's going to be mm-hmm. because your body already is preconditioned. You kind of know what you're doing. But again, like, don't let that discourage you if you haven't gotten started yet. I actually read a really great book. I wish I remember the name now. Mm-hmm. But it was about starting strength training later in life.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom has Graves' disease, actually. Mm-hmm. And she has issues with her bone health sure. because mm-hmm. of that. And I told her, I was like, you need to start strength training now, even though we're going to be starting small and it might not be crazy weights. Mm-hmm. But that's going to help you long term. If you want to be able to pick up your grandkids later, you got to start that now. Better late than never.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had that in my head that I was not a high school athlete. I didn't do sports. So it's sort of beyond what I can do to get in the gym. I think so many people have that mental block. I know I did, of like, it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach that? How do you get over that?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, that's a tough one. A lot of people are feeling that too. And it's one of those things where you just got to find, again, something that you're passionate about, but the first step is walking through the door.
Mm.
So if it is even, you know, maybe I'm just going to go in there and I'm going to check out what the bathrooms look like today. Sure. What color towels do they have? just getting, like, comfortable going in and just being yeah. like, I saw it, I did it, now I can, you know, slowly start to ease my way into it a little bit, and finding the different spaces, too.
Yeah.
A lot of gyms have a corner that you can go into and know, I don't feel like everyone's watching me, mm-hmm. and I feel like I can try some stuff out. Maybe it's not right, or
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I'm learning this movement, but eventually I'll get there, and this yeah. is where I can start to feel that.
Yeah. Do you have tips for getting over self-consciousness at the yeah. gym, you know? Because I feel like there's that mental block of getting yourself in there and then, you know, seeing all the people who look like they know what they're doing yeah. in the gym and trying to fit in, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We call it gym intimidation. and it's very, very real.
Sure.
And it can be real, too, for people that have been working out for forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, even as a female in the gym, sometimes when we're lifting weights together, I get a little self-conscious because they're mm-hmm. bigger guys next yeah. to you. But the important thing is, again, just doing a little bit at a time. So mm-hmm. if you might not be comfortable at first, spend just 10 minutes, mm-hmm. 5 minutes. Again, better than 0 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then bringing friends along with you, too, because okay. there is a lot of strength in
yeah.
numbers.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That that feeling of, yeah, are people looking at me? Are they laughing at me because they don't know how to do a deadlift and they're kind of screwing it up right now? Is that a thing in the gym? Is people who work in the gym day in, day out, are you all looking at other people and judging them and critiquing them in your heads?
Absolutely. No, I'm
kidding. No. We're just making sure you put your equipment away, honestly.
Yeah, that's all we want. Yeah.
I did once hear someone under their breath criticizing someone's squat, and it was so strange mm-hmm. because the next day I just saw him, like, at the mm-hmm. grocery store.
And did anyway. You judge what he was buying at the
yeah,
grocery store?
Yeah, I tried to really lay it on, you know. Right. I don't know. That's not really important, but I thought that mm-hmm. was good. Yeah. That made me a little nervous, but.
Yeah. I think we all think that people are looking at us yeah. when really I think most people are looking at themselves mm-hmm. thinking the mm-hmm. exact same thing we're thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If I could go back, you said of, like, finding an area, and you all are at Smith Center, which we're very fortunate to have here on the campus where we're recording. And I remember when I was going there, I found the furthest away little corner away from everybody that I was like, it's me by myself. No one, like, this is my space and my space only. And it was huge. Like, having that sort of mentality that you can hide somewhere. And then when you're ready, sneak over there. The way
you turned around and faced the wall. Yeah, don't look at me.
I kind of was that.
Yeah. Do you have any tips for picking a gym? I don't know if this is really related to that, but are there any immediate signs of, like, this is probably not a good space in general? Is it different for everyone? Any advice there?
Well, obviously, anyone who is a full-time employee should definitely take advantage of the Smith Center. but in all seriousness, you want something that is easy to get to, realistic for you to get to, something you can afford, something that has the programs that are going to get you really excited. Again, just thinking about how it's going to fit into life as a whole. And that's going to be different for everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're calling me out with the full-time gym.
So, on that note, do you need a fancy gym? Do you need the Equinoxes? Do you need the whatever those are? What do you actually need out of a gym space?
Again, I think it's what you want to get out of it. Mm-hmm. Some people are motivated by maybe paying a higher fee because they know they're paying the higher fee. It's going to keep them accountable. They might like all the extra amenities. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the shower. It's the towel. It's a butler in the bathroom.
Sure.
But I don't know. I've never had a butler in my bathroom. But that might call to some people. Mm-hmm. And some people might just need, hey, I just need a set of dumbbells and a treadmill that works.
Yep, sure.
And that just works for some people. So again, like it's what's going to meet your needs and going to get you excited to get through that door.
Yeah. And on that note, too, a lot of it is, can I, you know, get to the gym today? If I can't, like, outside, the sidewalk is a part of my gym that day. I'm just going to walk, just going to do something. If you're just sitting at home and you're like, I can't afford dumbbells right now, you can find something in your house to use as a weight that is manageable to still get there. And even that's something, too, where I'm still trying to find what that feeling is for me, what gym works for me. You can start now. It doesn't have to be when I get the membership. It doesn't have to be, when I get into the door.
New Year's.
it doesn't have to be a timeline. You could start right now just with something small.
Yeah. So kind of related to that, I feel like I hear people talk about just making small changes to your daily life, like taking the stairs instead of the elevator. I work on the first floor here, so it's not really, I just take the stairs anyway. No. Are there any tips like that you feel like are important or good to know? That's probably the big one, but
yeah. No, that's really good. Just little habits are important. I'm really bad at drinking water, so I actually have a little water bottle that blinks to remind me to drink water.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need that little external push too. So finding things that'll push you a little bit more to do something that might not be in your routine right now.
Yeah, it's definitely starting small too. Your body is really good at adapting at what you want it to do, but it has to be something you're willing to put the effort into. And if you are restricting yourself or anywhere, you're going to hours at the gym that you're just coming back exhausted by the end of the week. It's really making sure that this is sustainable because your body's going to get good at doing it as you do it.
Right.
So if you're like, I'm going to the gym every day for, 3 hours a day, you're going to get exhausted and it's going to take a long time for your body to adapt to it. So
you're going to be like this gym thing.
Yeah. It's starting off at the 20 minutes and then your body adapts, you get really good. And then you're maybe I can stay for 45 this time and it gets better slowly.
Yeah.
I found time of day really helped for me too.
Sure.
Because I realized now that I've started my first 9 to 5, I'm like, I don't want to do anything after 5 o'clock. I just want to sit there.
Sure. Yeah.
Finally, even though didn't think I was a morning person, being like, I think that's the only time I'm going to be able to, like,
it's possible to become one.
Yeah.
You don't think you can, but it is possible.
I'm trying to do it. I don't know. I'm not going to make anything. I'm not going to say anything on camera.
Yeah. if we could go back to that point of, like, when you're starting, knowing that it's okay to be a beginner, like, how do you start to set realistic goals for yourself? Because obviously it's like, I'm going to have a summer body within 6 weeks of starting this, or I'm going to deadlift 500 within my first month of, like, how do you start to set realistic expectations and goals for yourself when you're just a beginner at this?
Yeah, I would say, again, start small.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to make sure that you're taking the stairs every day, maybe you start with once a week. And then that turns into twice a week, 3 times a week. If you want to set some of those bigger goals, like you want to be able to deadlift 500 pounds, then that's when you recruit a personal trainer,
sure.
right? And make sure you're building safely too, because there's so much stuff on the internet right now that can really scare some newbies and kind of send them along those tracks that may not be the safest.
That was actually going to be my next question was, I feel like there's a lot of the other intimidation elements, but I think there's also a big fear of injuring yourself, both in the short term and then even in the long term, because I feel like you could be working out, feel like you're doing it, and if you're doing one thing wrong, could be a surgery, you know, years down the line. Do you have any tips for that? You already mentioned the kind of overwhelming info of the internet. I feel like I even have a fear when it's a personal trainer. I'm like, who knows? Who knows? Where did you get your degree?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where you know your body better than anybody else. You know what it feels like. So if you're nervous about, you know, a different type of exercise, start with lighter weight, start body weight, feel it out. There's a ton of resources online with the positive and negatives of it all, as long as you find one that has the science to back it up. Pretty much any personal training certification also has a free exercise library on the website that goes through form, goes through how to, they usually have videos or step-by-step if you'd rather read it. So there's good resources out there that have the special things that are going to make sure that you're not going to hurt yourself later. And just making sure you're finding the correct ones that are backed by science to help you out to get there.
If you do feel like you're more injury prone for some reason or just worried about that, are there any sports or activities that you think are safer or would recommend?
I would start with some of the lower impact things. So like your spin classes, your cycle classes, those are pretty low impact. A lot of weightlifting you can do at lighter weights and higher reps and still get the same health benefits as you would with heavy weight and lower reps. And then any sort of, again, non-impact cardio, like an elliptical, a stationary bike, things like that are just easy ways to sort of ease yourself into it, find out those limits, and then you can sort of test them as you get more comfortable.
We've mentioned personal trainers here. It sounds pretty fancy, a little expensive. But speaking from personal experience, that's how I got my start with a wonderful woman named Judy. Colleague of yours who once made me go blind, but that's a story for another day.
Unrelated to this next piece of advice.
No, she was great at sort of introing me to everything and walking me through it. Is that something that's realistic for people thinking, you know, starting out, maybe money's tight? How can you sort of get that training directly? Are there ways to find it?
Yeah, I mean, in our facility specifically, we have small packages, and it's not necessarily, hey, you're gonna meet with this person every week for the rest of your life. You're stuck. Maybe it's just, hey, I need three sessions just so I feel comfortable and know what I'm doing. It doesn't have to be this massive life change.
And a lot of trainers too will take the time, and if you're telling them, I want to learn how to do stuff. Can you teach me how to write programs so I have two more sessions with you and I want to use them 2 months from now so I can build on that program? They're willing to sit down and talk with you. A lot of them aren't there to just, you know, make you go blind. they're there to help you. And if you just let them know and ask, they're more than willing to help you learn how to write things the correct way.
Having that conversation with your trainer and setting those goals with them early will also give you the idea of, is this the right trainer for me? Because maybe that person is more, I just really want to work with you to get you strong. I think you need to do it with just me. If you're having that conversation early, you'll get a good feel for if they're a good fit for you and what you want.
If they're asking about you, your goals, your needs, things like that.
How much you value your site.
For the record, I didn't have breakfast, and so I was just a little woozy.
Okay, so for people that you see at the gym, or people just getting started, even people who have been doing it for a while, what are the biggest mistakes, misconceptions you feel like you hear or see at the gym or with people?
I'd say a big one is like spot training. People want to go in and they just want to lose weight in their belly or lose weight in their arms. And I think that we need to look at our fitness more holistically and think, okay, this is going to be a good place for me to release all the stress of the day. I will get some health benefits and it might not be exactly where I want it right away, but there will be health benefits if I just kind of stick to it and create that routine for myself. I think that's probably the biggest one I see, at least.
Yeah. And it takes time too. It's not It's not going to be, you know, it happens overnight. Mm-hmm. And in the progress, if you don't see it right away, that doesn't mean something good isn't happening on the inside. Your mood can just get so much better. You can sleep better and you don't even notice it. You don't see it. So letting it take the time it needs to start to see those benefits and even start to write down what you notice.
Yeah.
If it's one of those, oh, I didn't even realize I slept 8 hours last night and I've been getting five. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you track progress in a healthy way? How do you like a week, a month, 6 weeks, a year out? What should you expect to see or not see?
I think, again, progress looks different for everybody, especially depending on where you are in your journey. For me, I do a lot of self-reflection and I'm a big advocate for that and journaling and all that good stuff. So for me, it's writing down how I feel about what I'm doing and seeing if I'm still making those positive benefits. Because there is a point, too, where you can be in a routine and then fall out of love with what you're doing and need to mix it back up again. So it does take a little bit of effort on your end, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Good things do that sometimes. but for me, it is that self-reflection. But for other people, it might be, hey, I like the way my clothes fit today. Or, hey, I like the way I feel when I leave the gym. Mm-hmm. Or I'm getting better scores on my in my spin class, whatever that may be. I think it's different depending on who you are and kind of what motivates you.
Sure.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, too, if it's 6 months from now, a year from now, are you still happy? Mm-hmm. Are you still like, I'm excited to go to the gym and continue it?
Mm-hmm.
With mixing it up, I mean, as long as you're happy with what you're doing, that's the best progress you can have, really.
Yeah. I think for me, it was when I started noticing like, oh, I miss the gym. And that is not an emotion I ever had before in my life. That's when I thought, oh, maybe this is doing something for me.
So. My husband knows when I didn't work out that day. He's like, well, you just go for a run or something and come back, circle back.
Yeah.
I do feel like weirdly, I haven't been going that long, but I immediately noticed back problems were alleviated just from doing some basic strength training.
Yeah.
So
huge.
Now I can never stop. okay, so we're mostly talking about fitness, but I feel like we should at least maybe mention diet and how that factors in too. Yeah. As much as I don't want to, I do remember feeling really discouraged. I was like, wait, you have to do both? and, you know, this could factor into setting your goals. Maybe that's too much at once to be changing everything in your life. Mm. But what are some important starting, you know, pieces of advice for incorporating a better diet, a diet that accompanies working out, a more active lifestyle?
It's definitely important to know that you need to find what works for you, because what I eat is all going to be different depending on what our goals are and who we are, right? What our body is made up of. So definitely talking to either hiring a registered dietitian or talking to your primary care doctor and seeing what those goals are specifically for you.
Mm-hmm.
Good resources, though, are My Plate. That's always a solid one to just sort of get you started a little bit. Gives you a good general guideline of what you need.
Yeah.
And remembering, too, food is going to be fuel for your body. So making sure you're eating enough, you're drinking enough water. You know, you start to feel headaches and maybe you're like, now my head hurts. I don't want to go to the gym. It's your body's way of trying to tell you I need something right now. So just listening to your body and knowing that food's not a bad thing. It's going to help you. It's going to make your progress better. So just making sure that, you know, if you need a light up water bottle, you get one.
I think it's also good to note, too, that just because you enjoy like things like cookies or French fries doesn't mean you have to get rid of them entirely. Just in moderation, I think is definitely important to keep in the back of our minds, because I think sometimes we punish ourselves when we're enjoying certain foods. And that's what they are. They're enjoyment. You should be able to enjoy them.
Yeah.
I feel like I hear, this is somewhat related, the terms bulking and cutting a lot in the gym. It's not something I've really paid too much attention to. Is that anything?
You're not bodybuilding, James? Is that what you're
saying? Maybe I just live with a bodybuilder. I don't know. but, you know, I feel like he brings that up sometimes in terms of diet and how to. And I did look into it and I was like, oh, I feel like I'm actually, even if I weren't exercising, under eating a little bit protein wise. Are there things you should be considering in terms of protein intake and other, should you know, we don't have to get into supplements or anything, but other things you should consider in that realm.
Yeah. When it comes to the bodybuilding world, they have a very specific set of needs with carbs, fats, protein, and that all changes based off of what phase they're in. So whether it be the bulking or the cutting or, you know, maintaining in between, it changes crazily. Yeah. And it is not something I would ever get into myself because it's a lot of thinking and a lot of planning.
It's
and
a lot
power
of chicken breasts.
Yes.
And rice
yeah, tilapia. Yeah. Yeah. Power to them.
You feel like I hear that from every celebrity. It's like, I just ate a lot of chicken breasts.
Yeah. And again, power to them for that, because that is definitely a discipline that I don't have myself. But for just a average gym goer, again, it's going to be very specific to who you are. Again, typically what the United States recommends, right, on my plate is about 50% carbs, 30% proteins, 20% fats. Mm-hmm. But again, that's going to change based off of what your goals are and what you want to do, which is why you would ask that registered dietitian what exactly you might need at that time.
I recognize as the man on this podcast asking this question is a little strange, but I hear from a lot of my girlfriends that they're afraid to lift weights because they don't want to get too bulky and look like a bodybuilder, which, as you say, all that work to become a bodybuilder feels a little silly. But could you address that sort of concern of, I don't want to get too bulky?
Yeah. Women have a certain set of testosterone that men have more of, right? So it is... another kind of myth is that women think that lifting weights will make them bulky because they see their male counterparts lift and they start to get a little bit thicker. And again, women are different, and some girls may put on more muscle faster than some other women might not. So everybody's a little different. We're all wonderful snowflakes. But it's not like all of a sudden you're going to look like one of those... bodybuilders you see at, you know,
competitions.
Exactly. Or, exactly.
I'm trying to be a bulky snowflake.
If it was that easier, I think I'd be in a different place in my life, right?
So we're coming up on the end here. Are there any, is there anything else that maybe we didn't cover? Anything that you're like, these are, here's some quick tips. Here's something easy to remember. If you're going to leave this podcast with anything, you know, take this with you that you want to add.
Yeah. Start small. Find what you love, and remember, it's not going to happen overnight. It takes time, so make sure it fits in your schedule and that you enjoy doing it. It'll fit so much easier.
Yeah.
I would also say try something new. Yeah. Why not? Mm-hmm. You might find out you've been missing out on a really cool part of fitness you've never tried before.
Yeah. Do you have any other last?
I've been thinking, for me, something that was really helpful was to identify and remove any barriers from going to the gym or doing fitness. So, like, if I'm going to go in the morning, I need to have all my supplies, clothes, everything laid out, ready, done, so that I can't be that lazy in the morning. Like, it's, so identify those barriers and cut them out as much as you can.
So. Yeah, well, I think this was all great advice. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks to Javi for guest co-hosting with me today.
As your boss, I made you do this.
Yeah. threat of termination. No. I'm kidding. That's not. thank you guys for listening to Don't Say Adulting. Keep tuning in for more episodes about you know, all the little problems that come up, you know,
and all
an
the
adult.
Big solutions.
Yeah, all
that
the
we
huge,
offer.
Yeah, and all we have to offer here. No, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.
Don't Say Adulting is a Grotter Network podcast produced by Jane O'Connor, Kevin DeClute, and Josh Long. Additional production editing done by Kevin DeClute. Graphics and animation by Becky Rogers. Grotter Network is director Javi Zubizarreta, senior producer Josh Long, senior content editor Jesse McCartney, art director Becky Rogers, senior manager for community engagement Mike Rossetti, social media manager Adrian Giraldi, web content strategist Michaela Douglas, producer Kevin DeClute, associate producer Jane O'Connor. Special thanks to our guest and Notre Dame Studios.